High school English and theater teacher Lou Volpe established a legendary drama program at Harry Truman High School in Levittown, Pennsylvania, and he's inspired thousands of students in what would appear to be an otherwise unremarkable blue-collar town. Michael Sokolov was one of his students in 1972. Mr. Volpe encouraged him to become a writer. Now Mr. Sokolov has published Drama High about Mr. Volpe's influential theater program. It's published by Riverhead Books, and I'm very pleased it has brought Michael Sokolov and Lou Volpe to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Lou, you were
here. Thank you for having me.
Lou, you were a pretty green teacher when Michael was in your English class, yet Michael writes, he was so madly in love with the material he was teaching that I was swept up. Young teachers often have a hard time dealing with their students. Were the other kids as swept up as Michael was?
It all depended on the class. Michael's class was very special. They seemed to really enjoy the subject matter, and it was one of those kind of magical moments in the day where you just couldn't wait to get to that class because you knew that they were hungry to learn.
Had you been a good student?
I was saying...
Yes, I was
asking Lou because he became a good teacher. Sometimes good teachers are students who were frustrated by their the way they were educated and they want to do it better.
I was, depending on the subject, I was a very good English, history, and French student, and I was an abysmal math and science student.
What kind of school was Truman High like when you started teaching there in 1969? Wasn't it called Woodrow Wilson High at that time?
Yes, it was. It was just 11th and 12th grade. It was the graduating high school in the township, and it had, I guess at that time, maybe 2,000, 3,000 students, and it's certainly declined in enrollment since then.
And then the names were switched from one wartime Democratic president to another?
Yeah, what happened in 1982, because of the declining enrollment in the township, they closed one of the high schools. They closed Delhaus High School, which was on the other end of the township, and they renamed Woodrow Wilson to Harry S. Truman.
Now, at first you taught English. What led you to start teaching theater as well?
Well, I taught English for my first year, and I used to go by the auditorium on the way home from school, and I'd watch the drama director directing the plays, and I always loved plays. My mom and dad had always taken me to see musicals in New York and plays in Philadelphia, and I thought, I wish I could do that. I would love to do that, and sure enough, the woman that was the play director resigned that year, and I applied for the position, and before I knew it, without any experience, I was directing plays. I don't want to talk about those early plays. They weren't very good.
Michael, go ahead.
But that's really how I got started. I started to take classes, theater classes, as many as I could take, and eventually I started writing curricula for theater classes to be taught, in the classroom. And that's really how it all started. I started teaching one class, and by the time I retired, there were nine theater classes taught by two full-time theater teachers.
Michael, have you stayed in touch with Lou all that time?
You know, I was in touch with Lou on and off in the way that you sometimes are with a former teacher of yours who you cherish and was meaningful to you. But I came back in as a journalist, you know, certainly as Lou's friend and as his former student. But I thought that what was happening at that school was worthy of a big picture nonfiction book, you know, even if I did not have a connection to him, because it was so... such an astonishing success in what seemed like such an unlikely place, and such an example. We look to sports in certain kinds of places, in blue-collar towns, in the inner city. We think, well, sports is going to save kids, and we rarely look at theater and the arts. And one of the things that Lou showed is how possible this is in a town like that.
Well, how did he encourage you to become a writer?
Well, I think that he encouraged me to be a writer in the way that any great teacher encourages anyone to be anything. He just saw what was inside of me before I knew that. and I had gotten to 11th grade as a pretty decent student, but an uninspired one. And just one day he said to me, you know, you're an awfully good writer. And that sounds so mundane, but when you're 15 or 16 years old and someone sees that thing inside of you, it's so powerful. And that's what teachers do. They know what to say at just the right moment, and it hits a place that maybe no one else has hit.
Lou, what are some of the careers that your former students have gone into?
Many of them are in New York doing plays, a lot of off-Broadway work. I have one student who's won a few Emmys in California for his work in animation and film. He's developed a couple very successful animated stories out there, Kim Possible and a few of those other ones. I have a few that are television anchors. In fact, one in Philadelphia, she became a TV anchor after leaving St. Louis, and she came to Philadelphia and was an anchor here. So I have a number of them that have gone on to become successful, a few writers.
Are people in Levittown surprised that they've produced so many people who've gone into theater and the arts?
Yeah, I think they probably are. You know, it's not Levittown's not what I would call an artsy town, but they certainly support the arts, and that's what I always loved about teaching in Levittown. The community just supported, no matter if it was a play that I was doing or a Christmas concert or a choir thing. For some reason, the community just seems to support the arts programs there, and they thrive.
My guests are Lou Volpe, who is the subject of Michael Sokolov's new book called Drama High. Michael Sokolov is a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine and the author of three previous books. Michael, you went to most of the rehearsals and performances of Lou's production of the drama Good Boys and True by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa. Was there anything especially challenging for the actors about this play?
Well, it was very challenging, and it was typical of much of what Lou did at Truman. It was a play about a high school golden boy who secretly makes a tape in which he's met a girl at a shopping mall and had sex with her the very day he met her. And then his football teammates see this videotape, and, you know, his family explodes. The town is scandalized. The school is scandalized. So this is really explosive stuff to put on a high school stage. But at the same time, it's the kind of thing that captivates high school actors and audiences. And Lou was, you know, a natural person to take that on. Lou was the person who Broadway producers went to and said, can you pilot Les Miserables? Can you see if we can do that for high school audiences? He was the one they went to do the same thing with Rent and then Spring Awakening. So one of the things that interested me about this story is seeing theater as a way to really deal with life, to show students that art is a reflection of their own lives, as opposed to how high school theater is often done, which is very dated and very musty. And, you know, if you look at the top 10 plays that are done every year, you know, many of them come from before World War II. And some of them are great plays, but not as the only thing you would do. Well, so this play that I saw was fascinating to see in progress.
Well, I love Our Town, but I think it probably has been produced too much in high schools. Lou, do you have to adjust these plays? After all, something like Good Boys and True does have some pretty controversial material. Definitely Spring Awakening, which had a lot of four-letter words in it, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and you have to work around things like that. Fortunately, we were allowed to use that particular four-letter word in a number of plays. We used it in Our Town. Not in Our Town. We used it in Good Boys and in Spring Awakening, but not in a gratuitous way. I mean, we felt that it was done correctly. And, you know, of course, I had the administration come in and take a look at it, and we did tone it down. We didn't use it as much. Actually, it was used in a couple of shows. When we did Blood Brothers, it's also used there. Most of the plays that are, you know, more contemporary use words like that, and
And the reaction in town is okay. I know that the kids feel that they have to go to Nebraska to the main stage competition to get the kind of respect they really crave.
Yeah, you really have to put a, like what we do is we put a rider in the program saying that the play deals with mature themes, just like if you would, you know, go to, I guess, a regular theater and language is involved. And it's up to the parents whether or not they want their students to see it. In Nebraska, we make an announcement. Any play that has that kind of thing, it's not only my school. There's a number of schools that, you know, are allowed to do that kind of thing. And there's usually an announcement made right before the production that the play contains language, and if you prefer not to see it, you know, you don't have to.
Michael, let's talk a bit about the town, Levittown. Your parents bought their three-bedroom Levittown Jubilee House in 1955 for $12,500, and you're right that their generation and your generation were allowed an upward mobility that doesn't exist in Levittown anymore. What's changed?
Well, the nation has changed, certainly. When I was growing up in Levittown, there was a gigantic steel mill, U.S. Steel's Fairless Works, and it employed about 10,000 men, almost all men, and they made a lot of money. I mean, when I was there, people were building second homes in the Poconos, and they had great big RVs. And, of course, the mill closed, and so did the DM plant across the river. And, you know, so that's the story of America, income inequality and the death of unions. But in addition, Levittown is in this part of the world. It's in Bucks County, where it's the poor school, you know, amid some very privileged other communities and schools. So it's this little blue-collar enclave. And when I was going to school, it was blue-collar, but there wasn't just a gigantic yawning gap between our education and what kids across the border got.
And one of the
kids in the other towns, yeah.
One of the kids you spoke to, Tyler Keach, said it's not like the people who used to live around here left and a bunch of poor people moved in. It's the exact same people. They just got poorer. Lou, were you offered teaching jobs in larger school systems, more affluent school systems?
Yes, I was. Throughout my 44 years at Truman, I received a number of calls to teach in suburban Philadelphia schools that were very privileged. And also up in Long Island, I got a few calls to go up there in Westchester County, but I didn't. I really enjoyed my work at Harry Truman, and I liked the way the community responded to what we did as a drama program.
So,
and I felt, you know, they really respected what the students were putting out there. So I was treated very well. You know, I stayed 44 years. I had a wonderful, wonderful career.
Could you have stayed longer? Why did you retire earlier this year?
You know, after 44 years, I just felt it was time. I had a great assistant who had worked with me for 10 years. I thought it was her turn. I also was expecting my first grandchildren in November. They were just born 2 weeks ago, a set of twins. So it just seemed like it was the right time to move on to a new life.
And congratulations on your Lifetime Achievement Award from Music Theater International.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a great honor that I have that hanging in my home.
And meanwhile, we have this drama program, which I assume, Michael, has functioned as a kind of a magnet for kids who might have wanted to have gone to another school otherwise.
Well, I think that it may have functioned as that for some, and it's also been a haven for kids who may have never found that out about themselves. You know, Lou talked about staying, and, you know, he stayed in this very working-class town, and Lou has a pretty working-class background, and this program just has an integrity to it. You know, among other things, it reminds us that acting is a working-class profession. It's not always for the privileged classes. So these kids who came from a certain part of the world demographically just found something that maybe they would have never known was a part of themselves. And certainly some may have gone off to other schools or maybe not even stayed in school if not for the beauty of this program.
Michael Sokolov's book, Drama High, The Incredible True Story of a Brilliant Teacher, A Struggling Town, and the Magic of Theater, is published by Riverhead Books. We've been speaking to him and that teacher, Lou Volpe. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having us. I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Thanks so much.